Beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda explains to Yosef why he's so involved in trying to free his brother Binyamin as opposed to the other brothers who weren't that involved. So he says that he had accepted Orgus from the father. Ki avdecho arabe saram im avi gemor, mloy avi ene elecha v'chatasi li avi kol hayamin. The Gemara learns that from this obligation of Yehuda, the institution of Orgus. Gemara in the last Mishnah, the very end of Baba Basra, says that if somebody borrows money from the Malva and someone else is the cosigner, that's an Oriv, and the Loiva doesn't pay, then the Oriv has to pay. We learn it out that such a thing is so from Yehuda. Gemara says that there's a parish in the beginning of Mishnah. Etc. So there it also, Shlomo HaBaruch alludes to the din of Orgus. Where did Shlomo HaBaruch get it from? So the Gemara says that he got it from Yehuda. What exactly is the story by Yehuda? That's what the Nitziv in his commentary on the Shilpas discusses. Why was Yehuda an Orgus? Wasn't Yehuda a Loiva? He was borrowing the brother from the father, so to speak. He said, let me take the brother, I'll take responsibility, and I'll see to it that I bring him back. So he was it wasn't even an Arab, he was a shoyl. It's not that he was borrowing the brother that he's gonna move about his own dip and bring him back another binyam, but he was a shoyl. Shoyl is Chai B'Yomsi. So what do you mean that he was an Arab? What kind of a lashon is that an Arab? And then there's also that in Sif points that out. He quotes that some Ge'onim had such a gears in the Gemara that the Gemara rejects this limud, that the Gemara are now for Yehuda. The din of Orev, Gemara rejects it. Gemara says, you can't learn it out from Yehuda, you have to learn it out from Sefer Mishlei. Why can't you learn it out from Yehuda? So one Girsa had it, that Yehuda was really a Loiva or a Shoyl, so to speak, a Shoyl. It wasn't really an Orev. But the other Girsa in Gemara has that you can learn out certain aspects of Orev. It's not all the din of Orev, some you can learn out. What kind of an Orev was he, Bichlal? Then it points out in his commentary on the Shulchan also another thing, that the Gemara has a machlokes abayi verov in the beginning of Perek Elu Nairis regarding the din of Kom Levi Derabmina. We know that there are two or three dinim of Kom Levi Derabmina. If a person is chayiv misa and moment, so he only gets the misa, doesn't have to pay the moment. That's the pasuk lo yasam in mishpat. Then you have the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. Kidei Rishasa, so the Gemara learns that from Kidei Rishasa two dinim, that if a person is Chayiv Malkus, he doesn't have to pay the moment. If a person is Chayiv Misa and Malkus, so he only gets the Misa, he doesn't get the Yonish Malkus. In addition, so it comes out that there are three kinds of Kamla Bidiram. They're not exactly identical, but the Gemara, basically there are three forms of Kamla Bidiram. So the Gemara has a Machlech, and the Chunya Ben Akon, and the other Tanoim, what about Koris? Koris is not a Does Koris Pater from Momen Amal? So that's a machleg. So Chuli Menachana Hayosis Yom Kippur and Kishabbos. He held that Yom Kippur is same as Shabbos, even though Shabbos is Misa and Yom Kippur is only Koris. And Chuli Menachana held that Koris also Pater from Momen. And we don't pass them like that. We pass them like the Chachamim that only Misa Dez and Pater from Momen and not Misa Dez Shema. So the Gemara has a machleg Zabai Verovah within Rav Nachman Ben Akon, whose opinion is not accepted lalocha, but he thinks that Koris Patas from Momen. What could you say regarding Nisim De Shemayim? What could you say? Nisim De Shemayim is not exactly the same. The Gemara says in the list, at the very end of Moikot, the list of Moikot, the Gemara says that Koris is Machom than Nisim De Shemayim. That's the way the Babli says. Shami says, Fakir. Avdim Ilun, in the beginning of the Sefer Avdim Ilun, points out there's Machleb with the Babli and the Yerushalmi about it. But the Babli says that Koris is Mohammed and Misa Deshman. Koris, the person dies between, what does it want to say? Koris, the person dies by 50, and Misa Deshman dies by 60, I think the Gemara says. So Koris is Mohammed. So maybe Ram Nechud Men HaKwan HaShit, Hoyos, Yishem Kung, Shabbos, and Vira. Koris Patas from Ram, maybe Misa Deshman is not Patas. So it's a Machleb, it's a Baivar of it. So one of the guy who holds which way, I think Abai quotes this pasuk to show, it says Lo ye'osam v'nasatan nefesh tachas nefesh, and that's going on that misa b'dei adam aharigus chavera reteach. The Chai Misa says that the misa part is mamin. That's the pasuk lo ye'osam. Here it says b'karavu asam. So this is talking about misa b'dei shamayim. So you see that there's a gzereshava asam asam or gzereshava mashmoyes. That the word asam here is clearly alluding to misa b'dei shamayim. So even the word asam lo ye'osam v'nasatan nefesh tachas nefesh also is alluding also to misa b'dei shamayim. From Ikan, from here we see the mocker that within Rav Nachman ben Hakane, even misa b'dei shamayim would also pater from mamon. Where is this pasuk talking about misa b'dei shamayim? Lukachtem gamus emim kanach pigmim kanai b'karohu osom. He's talking about misa b'dei shamayim. He's talking about an accident. So Rashi explains, based on the Medrash Rab, the Bereshis Rab Shah, Sotram nekatreg b'shas ha'sakona. That the Medrash is bothered with a kasha. What do you mean? Yankovina is afraid to let Binyamin go on the long trip to Mitzrayim. Say simply because on the highway there are ganovim, there are murderers, there are Arabs, there are Egyptians. He's afraid. He doesn't say a normal explanation. He says an accident may occur. An accident can occur in the house also. Why is he only afraid of the accident occurring over there? Accidents happen all over it, with the same frequency. Except it's an accident up over there. So that's where Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mikan shasot mekatreg b'shas ha'sakone. The Karoho Asun, the Chachamim had a tradition, the Gemara had a tradition that it occurs to Misa Dei Shemayim. It doesn't mean an accident. But he's only afraid of an accident. So let him be afraid of an accident at home also. But he's afraid that the Satan is going to come to Taina that he wants to kill Binyamin for some other that Binyamin had possibly done. So Yaakov Avinu was afraid of that. So since on the highway there are, it is a Shas HaSakana, it's a Makam Sakana, Kol HaDrochim, Mecheska Sakana, the Gemara says, all the roads have a Sakana, from Chai Yisroel, the Listim, whatever normal Sakana you have on the highway, that's what the Chacham Wa Misakana Tfilos Adair. Because there's a din of Tfilah B'chol Yom, and there's a din of Tfilah B'yeis Tzorah. The Ramban's opinion is that Tfilah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanim, but Tfilah B'yeis Tzorah is their Eisim. So when the person woke up in the morning in the Daven Shachris, and he's not yet prepared to go on his trip, so that was only Tfilah the Rabbanim. Then when he makes up his mind, he wants to go on a trip. Now according to the Ramban, he's mechuyav to Daven Tfilah their Eisim, Tfilah B'yeis Tzorah. Even according to the Rambam, that the Rambam is a Tfilah B'chol Yom is their Eisim, but still Tfilah B'yeis Tzorah is a separate machai. So that's where they're mistaken tefillah sader, because on the assumption that kol adrach becheska sakana, if you have a derech that's not becheska sakana, then you don't say tefillah sader. The Gemara says there's a certain minimum distance that you have to travel. If it's the Gemara says less than a parsa, and you don't say that you don't say tefillah sader because there's no sakana. Let's say it's more than that minimum distance, but it's the sakana is so slight that people are not nervous about it. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. People are not nervous about the trip at all, then it's not even called a suffix sakana. That's not called a tefillah b'yeis. That's not called tefillah b'yeis tzorah. Sakana, suffix sakana. Anything a person does is a sakana. When you had breakfast this morning, it could be that the cook put in poison. Your day, when you walked across the street from the dormitory to the yeshiva, it could be that there's a bomb there under the ground. How do you know? So the answer is that's a sakana that people are not worried about. Everything is a sakana. But the suffix sakana, if it's a echad mini erach alfei alofim, one chance out of 5 billion that's going to happen, so people are not nervous about that, so that's not called the suffix sakana. So sakana depends on the perception. As the Gemara says, Shomer Psayim Hashem, if there's a far-fetched sakana that people are just not nervous about, so alpidin, that's not considered suffix sakana. You ignore that. That's not derech any din. If you have a real 50-50 sakana, even though the fellow's a daredevil, he's going to jump off of the Empire State Building without any parachute or anything. So that for sure is a suffix sakana. We don't care about the fact that he's not nervous. The nervousness plays a role if the rogue is that there's no sakana and normal people are not nervous about it. If 99% of the people would be nervous about it, and this Meshugan is the only one that's not nervous, and then you say again, Bofa Daitet Saldas Kobaniyot. That's not called, he's not entitled to his attitude. Let's say it's a suffix sakana, there's a 49% sakana and 51% survival rate. But that's certainly a suffix sakana, just because this fellow happens not to be nervous. Just like 50-50 is a suffix sakana, ignoring what his attitude is. So 49-51 is also called the suffix sakana. So let's say it's one chance out of a few hundred. A normal, many people would be nervous, and some people are not nervous. Then the fellow has a right not to be nervous. So anyway, here Yaakov Avinu was afraid that the Satan the Katrek B'Shas HaSakana, not only was he afraid of an axe, he was afraid of the, he wasn't afraid of an accident happening. An accident can happen just as well at home as on the highway. He was afraid that the Drachim HaBechet B'Sakana, the dead Sakana, was a slight Sakana, but compounding that was, he was afraid there could be an Asana Misa B'Eshaman, that the Satan would come to kill Binyamin because of some Avera that he had done. That was a tradition that the Chachamim had. So that's apparently, the Netziv says, that's apparently what Yehuda said, Anochi E'ervenu. Not that Yehuda is telling the father, I'll be an Orev means, doesn't mean I'll be the Shoyel, or an Shoyel Chaybiyonsen. Consider it that I personally am borrowing my brother Binyamin, I'll see to it that I give him back. No, Orev doesn't mean that. Orev means, if the Sultan comes to, it's a very strange concept, if the Sultan comes to kill Binyamin because of some aver that he did, so I will come to the Sultan, and I'll tell the Sultan, take my life instead, I'm the Orev. Binyamin did an aver, so he owes whatever, an Einish. Very strange idea, but that's what the Netziv interprets of Yehuda. He says, so Yehuda says, Anochi Ervenu, I will be the Orev. So that's Taka and Orev. That's what it means in Orev, that someone is really, Binyamin owes Misa B'dei Shemayim, to the Bezosham, to the Sultan is coming to collect the Misa B'dei Shemayim for some aver that Binyamin had done perhaps in the past. And then when the Sultan comes to collect, so Yehuda is going to volunteer to substitute instead of Binyamin.
As far as the Shemayim Hashem, I think what most Hashem says as far as smoking cigarettes, he brings this pursuit that Judaism. But as far as the technology is concerned, there's no more than.
Yeah, all the traditional poskim in Europe, many, many poskim write not like Rav Moshe. They write, Hashem HaPsayim Hashem doesn't apply whenever you know that it's a very strong suffix sakana. It only applies when it's a far-fetched suffix sakana. So then, people have the right not to be nervous about it. But if the doctors say that there's a real, real sakana, then you have no right to ignore that. Rav Moshe's tshuva is very, very strong. But he writes in another tshuva when he talks not about tshuva, he writes about birth control, he writes about the Gemara and Yevamos Dafir Al, but Shem HaPsayim Hashem. So he writes, and it doesn't make any sense to him, it doesn't make any sense to me to say that it should depend what the percentage of the sakana is, that you should only apply Shem HaPsayim Hashem when it's a slight chance of a sakana. That's exactly what all the classical philosophers in Europe wrote, that that's what it is. I'm always at the tshuva where he quotes the Torah's chesed, and he quotes all the earlier poskim. So we're all said like that. That's the way it was always assumed. The Meiri in Makkos has a Machloikis HaGa'onim, he quotes, as to whether Yehuda ever fulfilled his Tanai or not. Yehuda said, M'lo yavienu alecha v'chatasi liyovi kol hayomim. If I don't bring Binyamin back to the father, did he bring him back to the father? Exactly, who stayed behind here and who went who went back to Eretz Mitzrayim? So the Miri quotes some Goinim who say, it says, Vayishalach Esecha Vayelechu, that Yosef sent all the brothers back. All the brothers went back. Everybody went back, including Binyamin. Everybody went back. The Miri quotes some Rishonim and say, no. He sent the other brothers back. Some of the other brothers. What do they all have to go back for? Say hello to their wives. If they're all coming back to Mitzrayim, so it's expensive trips. So why should they go back there and come back the next day to Mitzrayim? They had to help pack it, huh? So the Miri quotes Gaonim who say that Binyamin stayed behind, maybe half of the brothers stayed behind. And some of the brothers went back to Eretz Canaan to bring the whole family back. So some Gaonim say that that Yehuda never really fulfilled the Tanai of his acceptance to the father. He said, Lo Yavienu Elecho. If I don't bring him back to you, and Yitzchak never brought him back, he brought the father to Binyamin, but he didn't bring Binyamin back to the father. So the other day in the Miri also says like that Binyamin stayed behind. But he says, what's the difference? Whether he bring the father to Binyamin and bring Binyamin to the father? Still, he did fulfill his tonight. And the first day the Miri quotes, he doesn't like that day, but he quotes him going like that. That's what Derech Chaim this week said, who also keeps on assisting. He doesn't allude to the fact that he didn't have a Miri Amakos. He doesn't quote that it's a Machlokes and Goyim and a Rishonim about this. He takes it for granted, a double portion like that Yehuda never fulfilled the promise that he had made to the father, of the Hevesiv Eilecha. He just saw to it that the father came to Binyam. So what happened with his Nidui? He said, V'chatasi liyavi kol ha-yami. Rashi quotes, kol ha-yami kol ha-rabis ha-olam ha-bo, ha-olam ha-zayin ha-olam ha-bo. He has menuda b'shnei ha-olamis. Rashi quotes that from the Gemara. So what happened to his Nidui? So the Nidui quotes these guys and will say that he asked the father to be meichel to him. Is it in like that? Let's say I take a neder al ha-tanai, and the tanai is mitevas somebody else. And then later on, let's say I say, what's an example? I will. Mishnah Nedarim has an example. I think. Let's say I take a neder. I will not attend your simcha. I will not attend your wedding. Unless you accept, I keep on attending your simchas, so you never, I don't know what's an example, as that person takes a shvua not to accept a gift from somebody else unless the other person accepts a gift from me. And the other fellow never accepts. So then the nether of the shvua is binding. So what happens though, the whole purpose was, I want him to accept the gift from me, I want to be mahanahim. But if he says, Hareni kinu his kabalti, what if he says, let it be considered as if I had already accepted the gift. The whole idea of my giving him the gift is that I should be mahanahim. So he says, it's considered as if you were mahanahim. I don't need your matan. I'm richer than you, I don't need your matan. So then the Mishnah says in, the Mishnah in Ksubas has, like the Gemara in Ksubas has like that, the Gemara in the Dorm has like that, that the person, when the nature of the Tanai is l'tei by somebody, the other fellow on whose behalf it is, says, Hareni kinu his kabalti, that's efficiency. Here also, that's what this day in the Miri said. That Yehuda's Nidui Allah Tanai was the Tevas the father, the verbatim Tanai was that he should be the Hevesi Beilecha, should bring him back to the father. Lo Yadiyani Elecha, which he never did. But then he asked the father, please be Meichel me for not having brought him. I brought you back to the Yamin. Shouldn't that be sufficient? So the father said, yeah, okay, I'm Meichel. That's how he got off the hook. But to be Mahana the father, that he should have his binyamin back. So what's the difference whether you bring binyamin to the father, you bring the father to the yam? So the other Gaonim, the other Rishonim Gaonim say that he did fulfill his tanai. And the Miri says no, he never really fulfilled. The Miri quotes a Gaon whom he doesn't accept. He says that he never really fulfilled his tanai, but then after the father was satisfied, he saw that binyamin is still, Yosef is alive, binyamin is alive, Shimon is alive. So the father said, okay, I'm going to hold you the tanai. No, but what's the whole kavana of returning Binyamin back to the father? That the father shouldn't have agnes nefesh that is missing another son. So now he had no agnes nefesh. Now the father was excited. He has all the children back.
He wouldn't have to say that. He wouldn't have to say that.
No, that's what the Gemara says. It's not necessary because in the Darim and in Tanayim and in all these kind of conditions, let's say a person like we had in the end of Perek HaShoya, when you have conditions of rental or conditions of a clause in a contract or something, so you always interpret it according to what the intention was. What are they driving at? So what was he driving at over here? He was driving at that the father should not remain in a state of aggravation as far as Binyamin is concerned. So if he would have fulfilled the Tanai literally, then of course he would have been the time of Tanai. Even if he didn't fulfill it literally, but the father says the whole purpose of the Tanai was Lahanasi, Sarayani Kidus Kabalti, I'm satisfied with the way it turned out. It turned out better than he thought. So he got back Yosef and Shimon, not only Binyamin, he got everybody back, all three back. So that's what the Niri called. Because the Gemara says there in Makis, in the end of Makis, that a Nidui al Tanai, Tzarech HaTorah. Even if you made a Cherem on a condition, and it turned out that there was a Bitla Tanai, nonetheless, the Nidui, the Cherem is Chal. So the Gemara learns it out from Yehuda. That Yehuda had put himself in Cherem, Mishnah Yelomis, and the Cherem was Chal, the Gemara says. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel in the end of Chumash Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda ve'alam ha'ch v'yenu, etc. Moshe Rabbeinu was mevakesh me'is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to lift the Nidui from Yehuda bo'olam abo. He had already died. So they were carrying Yehuda's bones back from, just like they took Atzmas Yosef with them, so they took Rashi quotes from the Medrash, they took the Atzmas of all of the Shvatim. And as they were traveling, so everybody heard that the bones of Yehuda were always rolling around in the coffin. All the other bones were dead, so they were just laying there. They weren't rolling. And that's Mr. Yosef or Mugungal in Baran. They were making noise. Why were they shattering? Why were they making noise? Because he was Menuda Boilam Abbas. His neshama didn't have any rest. So that was reflected by the fact that his bones didn't have any rest either. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, that everything should calm down, that Rabbeinu Shalom should be mata the cherem, should be mata the nidah. So Rabbeinu Shalom listened to him. So Mari asks, why did he have to, Mari asks the Machis, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to lift any cherem? Cherem only was Allah Tanai, and Roy Abiyani Alecha, and it was taken care of. Moshe says, Mikan on the Lamedeth, and here we learn again that even a nidah al Tanai, and there was a bit of Tanai, you still need Hatar. So that's what the Niri quotes the Machlokes HaGoyinim about this. What do you mean there was a Kimatai? There was no Kimatai. So some Hashem say, it's the same thing, whether you bring Yehuda, whether you bring the Yama to the fire, you bring the fire to the Yama. It's literally the Kimatai. The other day in the Niri is no. Literally there was no Kimatai verbatim. But it was, Yankee Ravina was Mechal later on, he said, have any Kilis Kabalti. And nonetheless, Atzmas Yehuda will be Gulgolim Ba'oren. It wasn't a Tanai Kofel, right? That's what the Orach Chaim asks that question. The Orach Chaim asks, how can you learn from here that a Nidui al Tanai, and there was Bikla Tanai, Tzorech, HaTorah, the Gemara has a rule that if you make a Kinyan or a Kiddushin or anything al Tanai, and you didn't word the Tanai properly, it wasn't Tanai Kofel, it didn't correspond to Mishpat HaTanai, then it isn't a Tanai Bottle. The Maisa Kaim, the Maisa is Chal, even without the, irregardless of whether there'll be Kimatai and Bitlantanai, there are Chaim Yes Takash. So how can you learn anything out from here to a case where there was a Tanai Kofel? So there are Chaim answers, what in Yeshivas today is known as Rab Chaim's Teret. Rab Chaim Alatar, and this Pasuk. These are velvulous, all right, you can hear safe on the Ramah, quote that his father said this. That Mishpatei HaTanaim are not needed in the Dorim and Shavuos. Rambam Beitza writes like that. Rambam Yehuda Bava Basra writes like that. Mochamis and Beitza and Avkoch write like that. That in the Dorim and Shavuos there's no requirement for Mishpatei HaTanaim. Why not? So the Arachaim explains why. Because it says in the Torah, L'chol Asher Yivatei Ha'odom B'Shavua. It's in Parshas Vayikra. When it has the din of Chatas Olaviyarei, sometimes if a person took a shvuah's bita, a person took a shvuah not to eat potatoes, and then he forgot about the shvuah, he ate the potatoes, he violated it. So the Torah says he has to bring a chatasol of yorin. That's called the shvuah's bita. So the Gemara and shvuah's comment on that person, chol asher yivatei ha'odom shvuah prakli yonas. If the person didn't fully understand what he was saying at the time that he took the shvuah, then the shvuah is not binding. So in the yeshivas, they ask the kasha, why do you have to have a pasuk called the shvuah prakli yonas? If he didn't know what he was talking about, it's not chal. It's the Hadin of Kolat Harkula, whenever you need das, to give them to Kiddushin, to make a Chamemkar, and Kolat Harkula, whenever you need das, if the person didn't know what he was doing, he didn't realize what he was talking about, so then it's not Chal. So why should you need a special Pasuk called Mishvuah Prakli? They must be telling me that the shear of das by the Dor Mishvuah is different from Kolat Harkula. What exactly does that mean? So that's what they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim, Kiddush Rab Chaim Piyashmu, that there are Nafkiminas Ladina. Whereas in Kol HaTerekula, let's say a man bought a stock and he thought the stock is going to go up and then it goes down. Why then do people buy stocks? They think it's going to go up. Then the stock goes down. So can he say the next day, oh, I made a mistake. I want my money back. It went down. He can't say that, even though it's obvious that that's what, let's say the whole company goes bankrupt the next day. So he can't say, Mekachtos, I want my money back. That's what business is like. Nonetheless, in the Dor HaMishvuah is, there are many cases where the neder and the shvuah falls apart by itself. There are some cases where you need a hataras and darm. Hataras and darm also doesn't work in Kol HaTerekula, that the bezin should declare that it's a kiddush etoes. Bezin says to the fellow, if you would have realized that the girl is going to get cancer after 2 years of marriage, would you have married the girl? And he says, no. So they say, mutalach, 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 and the kiddushin is not come. You can't do that. But let's say the fellow buys a stock and then it goes down. So he comes to a bed and he says, if I would have realized the stock was going to go down, I wouldn't have bought it. So that's ridiculous. You can't make a hataras hakinyan over there. So how come you have hataras and darm? So that's also because our mishvuah prakli yonas. It's halacha l'maishe b'sinai. We know that there are dinim. The Gemara says in Mishnah says in Chagiga that it's perushim al peh. You have such a thing as hataras and darm. But it's based on this assumption that Harad Meshur Pratlion is that the Shir of Das and the Dar Meshur is different from the Shir of Das in Kol Torah Kula. Kol Torah Kula, you can't declare that that's called a lack of Das. And the Dar you can declare. And there are even some cases we don't even need a Hataras and Dar, where the Neder falls apart by itself because of a lack of a certain piece of information which in Kol Torah Kula would not have been a Kinyan B'Torah or a Kiddushin B'Torah. So Rav Chaim, so Rav Gogol quotes in the name Rav Chaim that any time a person makes a neder ala tanai, so although in Gittin, Kiddushin, and Mekka Chamemka we would require Mishpatatan and you would require a tanai kofel, etc., you would have to word it properly. When it comes to the Nedar, we say that any neder ala tanai becomes, should it become cancelled, even though here it wasn't really a neder, here it's a cheirim, but a cheirim also has certain aspects like Ndorim and Shavuos and Aziris and Hagdash is also considered as belonging to the category of Haflot. So therefore we say that Harad Meshur Patlion is that you don't need Mishpatei Atanayim over here. So that's why it really was a Nidui Al Atanay, even though the Tanay wasn't properly worded. It was Alpidin and Nidui Al Tanay. Nonetheless, the Pesukim say in the end of Chumash that the Nidui was Chal, Bishnei Olam is the Nidui was Chal. So it must be because even a Nidui Al Tanay, Tzara Hatar. It makes up with the brothers and he kisses them and he hugs them and he tells them they shouldn't cry and it's all min hashamayim. The moral of the story is that even if your brother ba'avol you, when you go through life you're going to have a lot of trouble from a lot of people. There are going to always be people who are jealous of your success, of your happiness, of your riches, of whatever you have and they don't have. So even if people ba'avol you, if later on you see that you can make peace with them, it's not proper. There are people who maintain that they'll do nekama, or even if they won't do nekama, but they won't be friendly with the other people. Whoever ba'avol them, they won't be friendly. If the person is still a menace, he's the same shugana that he always was, and he keeps on still attacking me, so then and he's still jealous of me, and he's still trying to destroy my marriage and my happiness and take away my parnassus, so then I should not defend him. But if the fellow already stopped and he's prepared to make peace with me, so just like Yosef with the brothers, he saw the brothers were prepared. He saw now the brothers felt for Binyamin, he felt for the father. He saw that even though Binyamin was not a favorite brother, they weren't jealous of Binyamin. So he realized that at this point, Yosef felt at this point they would no longer be jealous of him. So he made peace with the brothers. A person should not be neither able or yearning for it. It's a terrible thing. You have even the most religious Jews. They have family traditions that their grandparents didn't get along with a certain Hasidim, or didn't get along with a certain family, so they disliked that family forever now. The Medrash comments on the pasuk that when Yosef gives a message to the brothers to tell the father about what's going on, Maharu v'alu el aviv, amartem elav, ko amar bincha Yosef, ko amar, sounds like ko amar Hashem. The Gemara says, ko anavim, the Medrash says, ko anavim nisnabu b'ko. Ko usually introduces a nevuah, a statement of nevuah. So there's a Medrash on this pasuk, ko amar bincha Yosef, this is introducing a nevuah. What nevuah, when nevuah? Just telling the facts, what happened? What's the nevuah over here? So some interpret what the Medrash understood in the pasuk was the following, that Yosef said that there are going to be 7 bad years. The Maaseh, there were only 2 bad years. As soon as, that's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash, as soon as Yaakov Avinu came, and he gave a bracha to Paro, so that was the end of the famine. So one could look at the situation and think that Yosef misinterpreted the Cholam in the first place. Like the Gemara says, Ein Cholam, what do you mean he misinterpreted? But for the first 7 years, there were 7 good years, and then there were 2 years of famine, so he began right here. So the Gemara says, Ein chalom below dvar metev, ein tevin below bar. That whenever anything grows from the ground, you always have psalms that you have to throw out. So the same thing in a dream. Even if the dream of Paro was takamara hanabur, maybe a good part of it was dvar metev. So maybe one could say that maybe part of what Yosef interpreted was wrong. So Yosef says, no, I'm telling you, tell my father I have a nevuah. Tell him in my name that I had the nevuah that there are going to be 7 bad years. Unless he comes, then as soon as he comes, then the bad years will be over. If It's not for the fact that a person says there's been a vua. No one would ever know. How can you really tell what's the cause and what's the effect? Who knows that it's because of the bracha that Yankov gave to Paro, that's where the famine ended at that time. How do you know? You can say, because Yosef gave the wrong interpretation of the dream. He took a little bit too much into the dream. He took the Dvar Metelem, and he interpreted that too. That's what he says. You should know that this has all been a vua. Mishnah says in the third three, we quote a Yerushalmi from the Dorim on the Pasuk Perik Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Yosef sent to his father Eser Asanos, 10 mules carrying Nosef Bor Valechem Umazon Li Aviv Ladora. What does it mean, Mazon? Mazon is all kind of food. So the Yerushalmi says that in this Pasuk we see the din of the Mishnah is correct. The Mishnah says in the Dorm that if a person takes a neder not to eat mazon, he's not permitted to eat anything other than mayim u'melach. Everything is included in the neder. The Gemara there asks that kasha, how can it be? But Rabbi Shmuel damich avayu, Rabbi Shmuel said that you only say bari min mazonis if you eat cake or spaghetti or something that's made up from the chameshis min dogon. So how can you say that mazon includes the potatoes and tomatoes and chicken and flesh and salami and everything? If Rabbi Shmuel said that it only goes on the Chameshis Min Yidogon, so the Gemara gives a teretz on that kasha. The Netziv has in one place in his commentary on the Shiltas an interesting point. He says that the Avudram and the Sefer Hamanig and other Rishonim assume who wrote Chiburim on the Siddur all work with the assumption that the Lashon HaBracha or the Lashonis HaTfilah have to be in Biblical Hebrew. Everything has to be patterned after Lashon HaTanah, not after Lashon Meri'adam. So he writes that he doesn't understand how can it, and that's why that's the whole Avodram, and the Avodram is a Kitzah of other Rishayim. That's why they have such an Arichas Dvarim to figure out where every phrase comes from in the Siddur. The parts of the Siddur that were composed, the parts of the Siddur are straight from the Tanakh, Kriyashma. That's straight from the Tanakh, as Yasha. But the parts that are not straight from the Tanakh, that the Nuschos of the Tzvi of the Bracha that was composed by the Anshul Knesset HaGedolah, has to be patterned after things that, patterned after the Lashonis from the Tanakh. So the Netziv disagrees with that and he thinks that it's not correct. The Taina is, that what was the Gemara's Kasha? How can you say if a person says a neder, not to eat mazon, so everything is included except for mayim u'melach, which doesn't give any sustenance at all? So how does the Gemara ask a kasha and the Mishnah from Rabbi Shmuel that the nusach habracha barim in mazon is only applies to the chameshis min yidogon? He says, why is that a kasha? Rabbi Shmuel was talking about the Nusach HaBrach, and Nusach HaBrach has to be in accordance with Lashon HaTanach. So maybe in Biblical Hebrew the word mazon only applies to Chameshis Min Yidogon. But the Mishnah is talking about a neder. So the nedarim, halacha haloshim liyadam. So maybe they're different. Lashon liyadam and Lashon HaTar is different. Maybe the Nusach HaBrach has to be Lashon HaTar, and mazon is only Chameshis Min Yidogon. And the nedarim, the Lashon liyadam is everything. So he claims that from this Gemara you see, in this Gemara in the Dorm, you see that the whole premise of the whole Avodram is wrong. He shlugs up the whole Sefer, the whole assumption in the Avodram. You see that the Lashonis HaBracha, Lashonis HaTfilah can be composed by Lashon B'nei Adam. There's nothing wrong. What does the Avodram do with his Tainus? And the Avodram is working all the Rishonim, the Mestama, they were working with the premise of the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says, how do you know that this is true? That this mission in the Dharma is true, that if a person takes a neder not to eat mazon, that everything is included except for mayim u'melach. So Rishami says the mocker is this pasuk in Chumash. So it's a pasuk in Chumash. It means that in Lashon HaTorah it's also so. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So how can Rabbi Shmuel say Just because you say b'dedam halacha lashon hara doesn't mean that it's always different from lashon hara. Sometimes it corresponds. You found that 95% of the time the biblical Hebrew corresponds to lashon hara, and then you have 5% of the time where it doesn't correspond. Modern Hebrew, it's getting more than 5%. There are a lot of words that don't correspond to lashon hara. Chashmal. Chashmal in Tanakh does mean electricity. It means something else. So you have a lot of modern Hebrew, you have a lot of discrepancies. But in the days of the Gemara, there weren't so many discrepancies, a little bit. So some of the Avodram holds like this Yerushalmi. The Bali does not. Some of the Avodram is working with the premise of the Yerushalmi, that the Mishnah is din of Noidim and Amoz and Asa B'chol Mine Eichlim, except for Maim and Melech, is based on this Pasuk. So the assumption is that this is both Loshim and the other man Loshim and Atara. So to that, the Gemara is Akasha. How can it be? But Rabbi Shmuel Damu Chavai, you only say Bari Minu Mizanis and Chamesh is Minu Dov. There's a Mishnah in, also in the Dorim. The Mishnah in the Dorim says that if a person takes a neder, we'll say not to eat potatoes until after the Chag is over, and it's right before Sukkot, so we assume that it's also up until after Simchas Torah, up until after Shmini Atzeres. It's still up until after Shmini Atzeres. So you see from the Mishnah that Shmini Atzeres is referred to as a Chag, the Ferish in the Mishnah. So the Taz quotes Akasha from the Maharal Miprag against the Ramah. If the Ramah says that when you daven on Shmini Atzeres, you can't say Yom HaShmini Chag or Atzeres because Shmini Atzeres is never referred to as a Chag in Tanakh. Because there was no Korban Chagig. Only Pesach Shavuot Sukkos is called a Chag HaMakkos, Chag Shavuot, Chag HaSukkos, al shem the Korban Chagig. But if you have a holiday when you don't bring a Korban Chagig, then it cannot be called a Chag. We call Chag Purim and Chag Ha'orim, Chag Chanukah, yeah, Chag HaSnich, all kinds of Lashonis. That's a modern Hebrew, but that's not a biblical Hebrew. So the Ramot Tainas, then in biblical Hebrew, the word Chag only refers to a Yom Tov from which you bring the Korban Chagig. So the Taz quotes Akasha. How can the Ramot say that? It's against the Mishnah Neder. It says the Ferish in the Mishnah, a person takes a Neder, Ad Le'achar HaChag, so it means up until after Shmini Atzeres. You see, the Ferish of Shmini Atzeres is called Chag. So the Taz says he doesn't see that that's Akasha. That's not Akasha. But in Dorm HaLochach HaLashmini Yodom. Lashmini Yodom, you do call Chanukah Chag. You call Purim Chag, you call Chag HaSmich also Chag. Even though there's no Korban Chagig on any of these, so you can call Shmini Atzeres also a Chag. Achra Chagim. People call Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also Chagim. But certainly not a Chag. There's no Korban Chagig. But in Lashem Liyadim, you call it a Chag. But the Brachis or the Tefillah, Yal V'Yavo, you can't say Yom Chag HaShmini, Yom HaShmini Chag HaTzeres, as Eder Ramos says, because the Lashon HaTefillah has to be based on Lashon HaTanah. So that's the Shada, whether that premise is correct or not. That's assumed in many sources, and then it seems thinks that the whole thing is not true. It thinks that the whole premise of the Avodram and the others is not true. Pasuk says that earlier that when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so he started to hug and kiss his brother Binyamin, and then he kissed the other brothers as well. And by Binyamin, each one was crying on the other one's shoulders. By Yipol al Tzavri Binyamin Ocher, by Yef Binyamin Bacho al Tzavaro. They're both crying on each other's shoulders. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the next pasuk says he was hugging and crying and kissing with the other brothers as well. So why was it singled out Binyamin separately? Binyamin was his full brother. The others were only half brothers. Pashim Shah. The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, no, there's a special kavan over here that they were both crying about the churb and bat mikdashos. Eipol atzavi Binyamin ocher vayeif ashnei mikdashos shasidim liyis bechelka shel Binyamin. Binyamin zeib yitro. So the Gemara says that. That when they built this Beis Hamikdash, they had it fulfilled in Nevuah that Yaakov Avinu said, Binyamin Zevi Yitrof, means that the Mizbeach, which devours the Karbonus, will be built Bechol Kishol Binyamin. And what was Bechol Kishol Yosef? Binyamin Bochal Tzavorov, Al Mishkan Shiloh. which was in Chelka Shal Yosef. So that's what they were crying about on this occasion. He kissed the other brothers, they were still crying, that they had lost contact for so many years. And when he was crying with Binyamin on his shoulders, that's what they were crying to Miyuchad about the Churban Bat Mikdash. What's that, this now? Why does it come in now all of a sudden to start crying about the Churban Bat Mikdash? So the Chor, the Pashtis and the Medrash is driving at the following, that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be representative of the fact, Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a Makom Shalom. That's why the Navi told David HaMelech he wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash because he was an Ish Milchama. And Yerushalayim is the year Shalom. The word Yerushalayim means Yira Shalom, but it has to do with Shalom also. It's the year of Shalom. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a Makom Shalom. That's where it says you're not permitted to use Lasanef Alein Barzel when you build the Mizbeach. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, because the Barzel is Mekatzel Yom HaShalodim and the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be Marach, and it's best because Marach Yom HaShalodim. The Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be representative of perfect Shalom, and the obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, only begins, as the Pasuk Chumash says, after you have peace from all the enemies, then you have to build the Beis HaMikdash. Supposed to be representative and symbolic of the fact that there's peace between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Ha'olam, that no one's starting up with the Jews, and there's peace within Klal Yisrael, amongst Klal Yisrael. On this occasion, that's why he was crying about that. That's why they were crying about the Churban Bat Mikdash, because the Bat Mikdash were destroyed because of the fact that they were Schinah, that they didn't get along together, the brothers didn't get along, and that's in the Haftar also. That's the theme of the Haftar. That Lossi Lovoi, Klal Yisrael will get along together. Kachlach Haitzachor Rechsev Alav Yehuda. Ulakach Haitzachor Rechsev Alav Yosef, Haitzachraim. And then the Korabos Mechad Alech, and Hoyle Yetzachor, Hoyle Achorim Yodecho. And then, tell Bnei Yisrael, this is a Nevuah when the Jews will learn to live in peace and harmony amongst themselves. Vahoy Mishkani Aleim. Then Sati Mikdashi Besoicham Liyolam. Then I'll build a Beis HaMikdash and it'll be an everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And calls mind that the Jews are fighting amongst themselves, there won't be any Beis HaMikdash. Why did the Tanoim Pizdarshan on this pasuk? Why did the Medrash say on this pasuk Al Tzavrei Binyamin? Why does it have to be on that Tzavor? What's the significance of the neck? The Shemesh Shmuel has an interesting comment on this. Claims that the Beis HaMikdash is a place where you connect the Ruchnius and Gashmius. The neck is the thing that connects the head and the rest of the body. So the head usually is the makam of thinking, we're reminiscent of Ruchnius, and the rest of the body is no thinking, reminiscent of Gashmius. And the neck connects the two, so that's why they took it, that's what he claims, that's what the Tanoim, the Chachmei HaMedrash took it, that the neck is representative of the Beis HaMikdash. It says that the Yankov Avinu decided that he should have to listen to Yosef. Yosef had told him the Nevuah, call him Abincha Yosef. He should listen to the Nevuah of Yosef, that he should come to Eretz Mitzrayim, and the Yov will end. So he starts to travel towards Eretz Mitzrayim. And says, Vayizbach Zlachim Lelekei Aviv Yitzchak. He brought Karbonis to Hashem. What was the significance of bringing Karbonis to Hashem? So apparently he was petrified, because the Pasuk says, Al Kira Miradom Mitzrayim. He was nervous. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him after he has brought his korban, don't be afraid. So the Mashmah says that he brought the korbanos because he was afraid. What was he afraid of? The Pashim Shach, he was afraid to go to Chutzlah. He was afraid that he would lose all of his ruchnias. We live in Chutzlah so long, we don't realize that we're also missing. And so it's missing a lot today also. So even when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you don't really see such a, it's still a contrast, but it's not that greater conscience. But Yankov Avinu was afraid everything would be lost. He would go to Chutzlah, everything would be lost. But Hashem told him, don't worry about it. The Legay God Lassim Hashem. Anochi Eridim Chametzrayim. I will come along with you and I will protect you. Anochi Alpha Gamola, you will come back to Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will not disappear. Usually there is a chashash that the people will lose their religious observance of Chutzlah. See, the Hashem promises you don't have to worry about it. They didn't have to be afraid. Why does it say Lelekei Ovid Yitzchok? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mikan Shechayvah Mikod Avi Oviv, Mikod Oviv Yosem Mikod Zekeno, Lepichach Tola Biyitzchok, Loi Biyavroh. His father and his grandfather had founded this new religion that believed in monotheism. So why does it say Lelekei Oviv Yitzchok? Should say Lelekei. He says, no, when a person davens, so we always choose to say Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. So he also wanted to mention that Elokei Avi. So he could have said Elokei Avi Elokei Avi Avi Elokei Tekeini. That's what the matter says. Chayvan Mikoid Avi Yosem Mikoid Avi Yosem. That's when he only mentioned his father. The Ramon Yerodeya has a discussion of this. Nehuchas Kibud Av has a discussion of this medrash that Rashi quotes on Vayigash. Because some poskim say that there's no mitzvahs kibud av at all on grandparents, only on direct parents, only on one's parents, and grandparents not. So the Ramot Taina is on Yerodeya that doesn't the mashmoyos of this medrash imply otherwise. The chayvad mikvod avi, mikvod aviv, yosem mikvod avi aviv, yosem mikvod zukeinu. It sounds like there is a chiyuv kibud av to a grandparent, but the chiyuv kibud av to the parent is greater than the chiyuv kibud av. It's the din of kedima. Yosef, it's a din of kedima that one is stronger than the other, but it sounds like there is a din of kibud av to the grandparent. Well, he's saying no, that he'll reinterpret it. That's what other rachmanim say. Doesn't mean that. Just means that the yechayim kibud av more than kibud av the grandfather. The grandfather means kibud av older people. You have to respect for older people. That's it. But there's no unique mitzvah of kibud av by a grandparent at all. Machlokes in the Yerodeya. The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash suggests a different interpretation in the pasuk. That he was petrified to go to Chutz Loretz because his father had never gone to Chutz Loretz. He was already in Chutz Loretz. Yankel was for many years in Chutz Loretz before. But he knew that his father never went to Chutz Loretz. Yitzchak was an Oyla Tmima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to go to Chutz Loretz. And he brought Karbonis L'Elokei Aviv Yitzchak. He was trying to invoke that Nida Hashem that insists on everybody living in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he meant. He didn't want to go to Chutz Loretz. He was praying and crying to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's bringing a carbon, please give me a break, Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me stay in Eretz Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, I want you to go to Chutz Loretz. Al tira medam mitam. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. Anochi eridim from Mitzrayim was referring to Golas Hashchina. The Gemara has such a lashon, Golas Hashchina. Anochi. Certain periods of history was taken more miserable than we would have ever dreamt, but most periods of the Golus was like when Yosef was in the Golus. He was the top man in the government and he was very successful and the Jews were doing very well. All the years, most of the time that the Jews were in the Golus, there were golden eras. The Jews were always very wealthy and they did very well. The Jews used to have maids and servants, and up until the Second World War the Jews had it pretty well. There was anti-Semitism in certain parts of the world, but so with the anti-Semitism, with everything all together, most of them were pretty well off. It wasn't that bad. But that's the idea, that's one idea of Golas Hashchina. When Kabbalah's trying to talk about a different, and Tanya and others, Kabbalah's trying to talk about another idea of Golas Hashchina, but that's not what it means in this passage. There's a different theme of Golas Hashchina. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates should really have Kedusha. The Mishnah says in Sefer in the first part, "Hayotz min atami tami vayotz min atorah torah." That means when you milk a cow, the milk is kosher because the cow is kosher. When you milk a camel, so the camel is not kosher. The pig, when you milk a pig, so the pig is not kosher. So the milk that comes out is also not kosher. Or the chicken, the hen lays an egg, so the eggs that come out from the hen are kosher because the hen is kosher. The eagle lays an egg, so the eggs of the eagle are trace, just like the eagle itself is trace. So the Mishnah refers to that doing as hayotz min atorah torah. Torah means a kosher animal, meaning torah. And Ayotim and Atami Tami doesn't mean Tami, it means of Tami, non-kosher animals and non-kosher birds. So in Kabbalah some will write that that's the idea of Ayotim and Atoha Toha, including that is that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, she really be Kaddish, could really be Toha, should, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaddish and he's Toha, so the whole world really should have the Kedusha. How can we divide the world into Kaddish and Chol? So it doesn't really mean that there are things that are Chol. Chol really means a lower level of Kedusha. That's exactly why I remember once Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha when we made a siyum on Mishnah Yischala. He spent at least 3-4 months learning Mishnah Yischala. So then he said that the only time in his life that he ever made a siyum on anything, on the fourth prakim on Mishnah Yischala. So he threw a party. His wife baked some cakes and he bought some soda and crafts. And we were celebrating. It was very atypical for Rav Soloveitchik to throw a party. He was in a good mood, so he held a drasha at that time. So he spoke about the Kedushas Chala, you have Kedushas Truma, you have Kedushas Kachikachim, Kedushas Kachim Kalim, and you have the Esi Kedushas, different Madrigas of Kedusha, and you have Tfilin Shal Yad and Tfilin Shal Rosh, and Tfilin Shal Rosh has more Kedusha than Tfilin Shal Yad, and the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than Tfilin, and the Mezuzah has less Kedusha than Tfilin. Four Madrigas, you have Mezuzah, Tfilin Shal Yad, Tfilin Shal Rosh, Sefer Torah, different Madrigas, where do you put Aseres HaDibris in? What kedusha did that say? So because that Moshe Rabbeinu bring out Masin, what level of kedusha did that have? So the Rambam takes a stand on that. Why do you have to have so many levels of kedusha here? Why don't you just say there's kodesh and there's chol? There are holy things and there are non-holy things. You can't say like that because the chol is also kodesh. Rav Kook has a lot about this. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo made the world, so he's kodesh, so everything that he makes is automatically going to be kodesh. So when we say that something is chol, what we mean is that Allah has a lower level of kedusha. So you're saying, built in for the idea of kodesh and chol is that you have different madrigas of kedusha. So the Beit Yosef Chacham understood, if you have two madrigas of kedusha, kodesh, and lesser kodesh, lowest level we call chol, so we are denying within kodesh you can have many levels, because chol is also kodesh. It doesn't mean, that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin says, it doesn't mean that you can learn Dibrei Torah in the Beis HaKisei, on the reverse Hamilton offers because everything is Kodesh and the Rabbanim is Kodesh and Torah is Kodesh and Erev is Kodesh and everything is Kodesh, Banish Lomela, everything is Kodesh. No, the Torah said the higher levels of Kodesh, all levels of Kodesh. This is the lowest level of Kodesh. So you're not allowed to learn Dibrei Torah on the reverse Hamilton offers on the base of Kisa and the base of Merchants. There's not a stira. Not a stira to the Allah. But there are different levels of Kodesh. So then the Kabbalah Svarim, you talk about Golos Hashchina, in that sense, that there are the tzeltos of Kedusha, there are aspects of Kedusha in all the Dibrei Chol. Even the things that look like they're totally devoid of Kedusha, totally secular things, there is no such thing as totally something that's totally secular. Everything has the tzeltos of Kedusha in it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to come into this world. But these tzeltos of Kedusha are like in prison. Within, you have the chairs in the schools. So what are we going to use the chairs for? The students are going to sit and they're going to hear a little biblical criticism. They're going to hear a little mathematics. They're going to hear a little Greek philosophy. What do they need that for? So Nebuch, the Nitzosis HaKadosh in the chair are crying to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's mamash erased. So they hear a shiur, they hear something they're told, they're brought and learn Gemara sitting on the same chair. So the Nitzosis HaKadosh are redeemed. They're thrilled and they're happy, so to speak. Kibayohol. The thrill, the Briya has the Kafras of Briya has been fulfilled. But the Baruch Shalom created things and everything is infused with Kedusha, lower level of Kedusha. And all of this Kedusha yearns to serve in Avodas Hashem. And it does serve. Everything is used for Avodas Hashem. So that's called also a Pchina. In Kabbalah Shalom, that's also called Golos Hashchina. It means that the Nitzotos HaKedusha, which are entrapped in all of these Divrei Chol, they call the Pasuk Melech Osir Barahotim. As if the demons in prison, as if the aspect, the elements of Kedusha imprisoned in all the and all of the secular world just awaiting redemption. But Al Pi Pshuto, that's not Al Pi Pshuto, Golos Hashchina means a different thing, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to make the Yisrael so comfortable when they're in the Golos. But it shouldn't be absolutely miserable. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises in the Yosef Yoshis Yodor Aleinecho. What does that mean? Means that your children will outlive you. That's a blessing. When the children die and the parents are alive, that's a curse. A terrible curse. When the children outlive the parents, that's a blessing. That's how the Rashbam writes in the beginning of Perek Yesh Nechlin, in his commentary on the Gemara. That the Mishnah arranged all of the people dying and the Yerusha transferring over in the accordant, in the Seder that it's normal. And he quotes this person that this is considered a blessing that the children should outlive their parents. What does it mean literally? So the Rishonim say that this was the ancient minhag that we still observe today, that after a person dies, you have to close his eyes. Then the minhag was that the children would close the eyes. The oldest child, Yosef, is considered a pro. Even though biologically he wasn't a pro, he was the firstborn of his most beloved wife, Rachel. he was considered a pror, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should try to get the pror to close the eyes of the mace, to participate a little bit in the hachanas hames with pror. When Yaakov brought these karbonas, he was petrified, he went to Be'er Sheva, and he was afraid to leave Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't be afraid. So before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the nevuah, he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, v'yom hineini. Rashi writes, Yaakov, Yaakov, Loshen Chibur. What's Loshen Chibur? That's a Tosefta in Brachas. That whenever someone's name is mentioned twice, it indicates a Lashon Chibur. One of the Sifrei Drush HaChumash, the Ave Nachal, quotes some anonymous Adam Gadol by Chassidim and by Misnagdim. They said this word. By both, they said a comment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the name of Yaakov. Say what Hashem changed. Parshas Vayishlach and Lamed Hey Pasuk Teh Pasuk Yud. Vayom Elo Elokim Shifa Yaakov Leifreshim Kol Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yishmecha. Vayikra Shmo Yisrael. So the Mefreshim is right that the Lashon HaPasuk was a little dafuk. What does it say? Vayom Elo Elokim Shifa Yaakov. Why does he have to say Shimcha Yaakov? He should say Vayom Aloy Elokim Vayikoy Shimcha Od Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yeshmech. Why did he say first Shimcha Yaakov? Your name is Yaakov, your name will no longer be Yaakov. Start off, he knows his name is Yaakov. Say Vayikoy Shimcha Od Yaakov. So several Chassidish Rebbeis and Misnagdish Rabbanim at this independently, I think, suggested the same interpretation, that at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I will no longer call your name Yaakov alone. I will either call you Yisrael or Yaakov Yaakov. That's what the Pshat in the Pasuk is. Shimcha Yaakov, your name is now Yaakov, I will no longer call you Yaakov alone. Either Yaakov Yaakov or Yisrael. That's why in today's Seder, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, he calls him Yaakov Yaakov. Vayomer Elokim liYisrael, the Maris Alayla, his name was changed to Yisrael or to Yaakov Yaakov. So he calls him Yaakov Yaakov, Loshon Chibur. One Yaakov alone is not. Two Yaakovs is a Loshon Chibur. Chaim Balmojin has a whole Arichas on this in the Sefer Nef Shechaim. Why is it he quotes from the Zohar? Why is it the Hebrew says Yaakov Yaakov and there's a psik in the printed Chumash, not in the Sefer Torah, in the printed Chumash there's a bar between Yaakov Yaakov, implying that you have to pour slightly when the Balkari is raining. When it says Moshe Moshe, there's no psik together. There is no psik in between. Why is there? And Isaiah brings this down. That by Moshe Rabbeinu there's no psik, and in the Sefer Torah there is no psik at all. It means in the Kriya. When you're learning, so by Moshe Moshe you're not supposed to pause. By Yankov Yankov, you are supposed to pause. Abraham Abraham, by Yom Hinein, he's also psik together. Why is that? He has a long arichas about this. He claims that the two Yaakov Yaakov, Avraham Avraham, and so on represent the first time the name is mentioned represents what the person's kishrenes are, what his capabilities are, what he could have developed to become. And the second time his name is mentioned represents what he actually turned out to be. So by all of the other people in Chumash whose name appears twice, they never fulfilled their potential fully. They never realize the full potential. So that's why there's a psik together, because there's a big herchek between the first Yaakov and the second Yaakov, what he should have been and what he really was. Sometimes Elojanim interprets, also in Evzhachayim, interprets the Medrash and Perek Gil Anosha, that when Yaakov ran, in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov ran away from his brother Esau, and he had a had a dream with the Malach and all of the Yodim. So the Gemara interprets the dream as follows. He saw the Malachim going up to see the Kisei HaKavod, and they saw that the Mus Diyukin Shayakim Chokik on the Kisei HaKavod. And then he came down the ladder to see, they were all in the Yodim. They went up to see who's the Mus Diyukin on the Kisei HaKavod. Then they came down to see Yaakov and Big Shur HaHavod. And they decided to want to kill Yaakov. And then Hashem needs a ball of the Shamra. Hashem was in a dream. Hashem said he's going to protect Yaakov. Why was Big Shur HaHavod? So some said because of jealousy, and our Chaim Elohim says he doesn't think that it's out of jealousy. Why is his the most Yukna engraved on the Kisei HaKavod? Rather because they felt that Yaakov had not realized his potential. They looked at what he had to do, what was Chokak on the Kisei HaKavod. He had potential to be tremendously great. And then he came down the ladder and they looked, this is Yaakov, this is that fellow, what is he sleeping for? The guy should be awake learning all day and all night. For 14 years later, he was, it says, Ba'ishta Ba'mach Mahu, he went to sleep then, and then for 14 years he didn't sleep. After this dream, he didn't sleep because he saw the way the Malachim were angry that he hadn't realized his potential. So that's what Chaim Elohim claims. That's why there's always a psychic debate to indicate the fact that usually people are not as great as they really could become. People are very lazy. And the only one who really became as great as he could have become is Taka Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rama means when he writes, because true that every person has the ability to become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first man the Rama is talking to be, it says in the Chumash. Well, come now, the Yogi, so Kamosha, Shadar, Hashem, Parim, Al Parim. So the Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi, both with respect to those who preceded him and with respect to those who followed him. How can you say everyone has the ability to become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu? So, in fact, this Lashon appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the first parak, when the Gemara says, a Basco once came down from heaven and he said, Yesh ben Echem Echad amongst you, in different periods, the Basco came down at different occasions and said, there is in this group of Tanoim a certain individual who has in his power to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but the goal is not Reh Lekas. So the Marashal crosses out that Yusuf, and everybody says that's the reason why. How can you say he's Reh Shetishra V'shchini from Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Chumash says that it's not so. It can't be that anyone else can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see that the Rama didn't cross out the Gersa, the Rama writes, everyone has the ability to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean? If the Pasuk in Chumash says, Rabbeinu of Asman says that that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu used his potential fully. He became, he gave over all of his teichos, all of his kishrayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's called, Eved Hashem. Kol Moshe Kana Eved Kana, he gave everything over to Hashem. So that's what it means, that everyone potentially has the ability to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in that area. Not that everyone has the same potential, the same kishrenus as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tremendous Baal Kishren. But he used his kishren 100%. People today don't have as great a kishren as Moshe Rabbeinu, they have less. But they could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in this sense, they could dedicate all of their talents to Avodas Hashem. We don't do that. That's why there's a psik begaveh between the Yankiv Yankiv, even one who is referred to by Rosh Hashibo, there's still a psik begaveh. And the Torah lists off all of the children of Yaakov Avinu who went down to Mitzrayim, so it goes in order, Reuven, Shimon. The one of Shimon's children is Shaul ben Achmanas. The Maira Shiksin, Shaul ben Achmanas. So the Rashi quotes the Medrash, Bereishis Rabbah wants to say that it can't be. They were so mocked that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they were so mocked that no one should intermarry, no one should marry a Shiksan. So what does it mean, Shaul ben Achmanas? So it means Shaul was the son of Dina. She's referred to as Achmanas because she was married to a Goy for a short period of time. She was married to Hamor. Shechem ben Hamor. So the Maharal progress the Kasha, all the Kosher has the Kasha. What did the Chachamim and the Medrash accomplish by saying, first they asked, how can you marry a Shiksis? He said, Chalila v'chalila? No, Teretz is married a sister. That makes it worse, no. Marry a sister, Zachanisa Kores. Marry a Shiksu. Not as bad. So where, how did they fare for that? So the Maharal Mitrag has a long Arichas on this. Rashi quotes the Medrash that when Shimon the Levi were wiping out the whole city, Kishahabu Hashem, the house of Dina wrote to Lotzeis. Interesting Medrash. They were killing out the whole city of Shechem. So Dina said, no, what am I going to do for Shidah? Now they remain with the goy, intermarried with the goy. Then what are you going to do? You're going to kill my husband? Who's going to want to marry him? So he promised. Shimon promised. The house of Universal Lotse, she didn't want to leave the city. Hashemish Balot, and he swore to her, Shimon, Sheyisa Enam. He swore that he would marry him. So some Rishonim claim that there's a misprint in the Girsa and Rashi and in the Medrash to say Sheyasi Enam. That he'll find a Shira for her, not Sheyisa Enam, he's going to marry her. That's what the Baal Tanur writes in his commentary on Rashi over here in the Amar Noka. He says that it does mean that he's going to marry her, he's going to marry her off. Why is it called Shol Ben Achnanis? Because he's responsible. Shimon was responsible for the birth of Shol because he's the one who read the Shira. The Pashup Shat is not so. The Pashup Shat, Shol Ben Achnanis was the son of Shimon. And that comes with his marriage, he married his sister. So that's what the moral is. How can it be? But they're worried about marrying a Nachris. So the answer, and it wasn't a Nachris, means that he married his sister. The moral has a few answers. So one answer he gives is, Shveri answers. One answer he gives is that Yoshem is like to cut Mishnah Rabbah. So it wasn't really his sister. So everybody had to be Makabal with her. Even though the parents were Jewish. My children don't have to be Makabal with her. So he says, yeah, that's after Matan Torah. Torah Matan Torah is at the Snatza. Torah Matan Torah, everyone had to be Makabal with her on his own. So Gersh and his dad cut Mishnah Rabbah. Shverot. They say that Yankee was the Tosa Shlem, all of his children were Jewish, so what do they have to have Geirus for? Very sure. Then he gives another answer, is Alpi Adibur. Alpi Adibur, then he starts to fetch. When does Alpi Adibur help? For some things it does help, for some things it doesn't help. Shverot. And then he gives another answer. That's the famous answer. He says that a Benoach is permitted to marry his sister, only Yisraelim are not permitted to marry. So the whole problem, the whole question is that they volunteered Kim Harvest Kala Tara Kulat Shalanit, and they did fulfill all the mitzvahs of Tara, even though the Tara wasn't given yet. So the Maral suggests that that's only with respect to mitzvahs Aseh, but not with respect to mitzvahs Reses, and this is the answer to the age-old kasha that Ramban asks, how can it be that Yankov married two sisters? What happened to the statement that Gemara has on Les Dach and Kedushin Kim Harvest Kala Tara Kulat Shalanit? So he answers, no, they want to kind of the S and not the Laban. Why? Because Kola Perkur, they want Mechuyiv. It was only voluntary, because they didn't serve the S. So my only crack says it only makes sense to volunteer something if it's a mitzvah saseh. So at least you have a key in my mitzvah biyadecha. But to volunteer something, b'shei v'achasa, to abstain from doing an avera, doesn't make any sense because they didn't serve the S. There's no key in my mitzvah. And if you're not moving, not to do it. So there's no other. What's wrong? I'm not a Kohen, so I'm permitted to go to a cemetery. So I'll volunteer to go to the Yosef and not to go to a cemetery. Look, Kima Mitzvah is there. I'm not a Nazir, so I'm permitted to drink wine. I'm permitted to drink grape juice. So I volunteer, never to make Kiddush on wine. I'll always make Kiddush on bread. What do you mean? You're volunteering not to drink wine. It doesn't make any sense. If you're not a Nazir, it doesn't make any sense to volunteer. If it's an Easter, so there is no kima mitzvah in violating the Issa. There is schar, of course, it's a different thing. The Gemara says, Yosha v'leva v'erem, nosmo schar ki hu kima mitzvah. Avar be schar. The kum tzai ragu, the Rebbeinu Shlom gives schar not in accordance to how many mitzvahs he did. For those who listen to the Dvar Hashem, to those who keep mitzvahs, and avaris, he gives schar in according to how difficult it was. Schar is a different judgment. Schar doesn't have to do with mitzvah says and mitzvah says. It's a schar and lava also. If the person is kirchen, not the right, like the law. But to have a kiyum mitzvah, the first enim tzuviyosi, that's only by mitzvah. That's what he suggests. And he says that this is miyushev, the Ma'amim Kav writes that this is miyushev, places kasha in the second parak in the third parak. In the third parak in Brachas, places yasta kasha. That the Gemara says in Menachos that when a person is buried, you have to put the tzitzis on his tachlichim. Because if you're going to have a four-cornered beged, if you're going to bury the mace with a four-cornered beged, with a talus, and you're not going to have pressure with tzitzis, so that's an act of loid l'resh, chere fasev. You're making fun of the mace, and you're demonstrating that they're not mechuyiv mitzvah, the mace not chashuv. So the Gemara says that the tachlichim have to have tzitzis.
Then there's another Gemara in the end of Nida where it says that you're permitted to bury Mason with Shatnasan. You're allowed to put Kilayim into the Bigdi HaMason. So Tosis is Baba Midikasha. How come there's a difference between Shatnas and Tzitzis? If you say there's Leg Barosh on the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, why shouldn't there be Leg Barosh on the Yisur of Shatnas? So Tosis gives two Teruts. They quote the Rian, the Rabbein Atam, and Brachas in the beginning of the third period. They quote two Teruts. That's Alam the Shatosis. So the Ma'ami Prah gives his own answer. And this answer that he suggests was rediscovered by Yos HaMech. In a Sefer Mesher Chachma, Pajin Tor, he writes the exact same answer. That maybe the word is like this, that Mesa Machosh and the Potter from Kol HaMitzvos. So the Potter says, no problem of Kilayim, what's wrong? They're not Muzer on the lab, so if they're not in violation of anything, so there's nothing wrong with putting on a Kilayim. But the Mesa Machosh from the Mitzvos says, you have Tzitzis also, yeah, but Sefer Shach, they're missing the Kiyum. So if you'll put on Tzitzis on their Begin, so at least it'll make sense to volunteer the Torah saying the Mitzvah B'yesa on a Mesa, the whole thing is hard to understand. But that's what it says in the Gemara, that even Sashveri Gemara, okay, but I don't fully understand, what do you mean you're putting on the Tzitzis on a Mesa? It's just bread. It's absolutely meaningless. But the Gemara says somehow that it is, has some significance. So that's what the Maral says, Maral Mikrag, and Ursamech writes, and the Meshach Hoffman, Pasha's boy, that it only makes sense to see to it that the mace is touched up with the mitzvah esser. But to touch him up with mitzvah less esser, if he's pukkah, he's pukkah. If you're not in violation of the mitzvah less esser, so there's no problem. Tosis has such a similar opinion regarding chinuch. There is a machlekes, there is a kasha that all the Rishonim work on is a steal between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Perek Cheresh towards the end of Yevamos has a dispute, and many Rishonim pass from that kofim erech on the verbis, where he bears the mitzvah in Afrishon. That if a child before Bar Mitzvah eats non-kosher food, doesn't have any obligation, Lafisha, to prevent him, to stop him from eating the treifos. And the Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Yuma that you have to see to it that the children before Bar Mitzvah do not eat on Yom Kippur. And if they want to eat, you have to stop them. If it's a child the last year or two before Bar Mitzvah, you should see to it that they fast the whole day if they're healthy enough. If it's the year or two before that, year or two before Bar Mitzvah, then you should insist that you should fast at least part of the day, halfway into the day. Before that, you don't insist that you should fast at all. The place is there, place is in all the Mishnah Nesi. Isn't there a contradiction here? It says that the kid can eat all the trade for food he wants, or all the trade for food he wants, but in Bezim Mitzvah will not finish. You don't have to bother him. There's no chinuch. And all of a sudden, here it says that there is chinuch about eating on Yom Kippur. Why is there a discrepancy? So the Rishonim gives two tributes on the kasha. Some say that the chinuch is only metalis on the parents. And he says it's tzuvah l'afrisha, but the parents are tzuvah l'afrisha. Parents have a din of chinuch both on mitzvahs and on averus. And other Rishonim, probably a tesis. The tesis in Nozir, the chotes, gives this answer. And other balei tesis have like this. The Ritzvon Yuma tells him that that the din of chinuch is not restricted to the parents. It applies equally to the parents and to others, but it only applies to mitzvah esser. It doesn't apply to mitzvah less esser. The whole idea of chinuch is we should see to it that the child should volunteer the Torah saying the mitzvah erased to fulfill the kima mitzvah. Not to train him in doing mitzvahs so that later on he'll know how to do the mitzvahs. We tell him what the din of mitzvah, he'll understand. So later on he'll know how to do the mitzvahs. No, the idea is we should see to it that the child has a kima mitzvah. So the only time you can speak of the kima mitzvah is if it's a mitzvah sase. So it only makes sense to have chinuch on a mitzvah sase. A mitzvah lo sase, neither the parents nor a bezin on mitzvah lafrisha, because there's no kiyum over there. If he's any mitzvah, the katan's a lot back here, if he's any mitzvah, so there's no idea of chinuch on that. But Rami Prat goes ahead to explain more with this. He says, we have a din of eser decha lo sase. Why is there a din of eser decha lo sase? It's more than the Rachim HaKosim. What's the logic behind it? So he explains as follows. You have a conflict over here. If you're going to fulfill the mitzvah, then you'll be in violation of averus. You'll be loser not to do the averus, so you're going to lose the mitzvah. So whatever you're going to do, you're in a dilemma. Whatever you're going to do is no good. So what's the way to resolve the situation? So he says, it's better to do the kima mitzvah. Let's say if I do the mitzvah, and thereby I will be in violation of the averus. So the Mokam Mitzvah, you say there's no Aveir. But can you say the Mokam Aveir, there's no Mitzvah? No, but Sefka Sefka will be left without the Mitzvah. Therefore, we have a klal of Mitzvah Sesa, Decha Mitzvah Sesa. But Yossi Klengel explains this in Beis HaEitzah. He wants to explain it a little better. What is the Ma'amikah driving at? So he explains based on the Shach and Choshe Mishpat. I think in Simchat Beis, that the Shach quotes from the Yerushalmi, the Onus commander Ovid Le'amin, the Onus is commander Le'yavin. When a person does, let's say a person is Mechal Shabbos Be'onus, so he does not have to bring any carbon. Because Onus, Rachmana Patra, Onus commander Le'yavin, whatever the person did be Onus is considered as if he didn't do it. What if the person wanted to do something and it was Nanas and he was unable to do it? So you can't say Onus commander Ovid, you can't consider it as if he did do it, so of course if he didn't do it, Onus only cancels the action that he did do, but it's not, it doesn't accomplish that the Onus doesn't accomplish that it should be considered as if he did something that he didn't do. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests. Maybe the pshat in what the Maharal Mital is driving at. Maharal Mital said that only Mitzvah the Yosef could have happened to him, others could have happened to him by Mason and by Cotton one day and Tyson. These are all people, only Mitzvah the Yosef. It only makes sense to have an only Mitzvah the Yosef on Mitzvah Sase. It doesn't make sense on Lois Sase. On Lois Sase, if there's no Asaras, doesn't it? So that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. If you have a conflict between the Mitzvah Sase and the Mitzvah Sase, and it's the actual time shame, so one has to go with the other. So why is it that we say that it only makes sense to have the peritoneum until the Yosef Mitzvah Sesa? Because there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah. By Lo Sesa, there is no kiyum, just that you haven't violated the Aver. So if you're not a Bachiyuma, you don't say that you have violated the Aver. So whenever there's a conflict between the Yosef and the Lo Sesa, so we'll say, whatever you do, you'll be menace on the other one. If you fulfill the Yosef, you say there is an onus on the Lo Sesa. What was the onus? The onus of the Yosef. If you observe the Lo Sesa, and you won't observe the Yosef, so you say, well, you're a prophet from the Yosef because you are honest. You're honest because Allah says it. So which should you say? There's no third route to take. So should you observe the yesa and say I was an onus on the Lo Sesa? Should you observe the Lo Sesa and say I was an onus on the yesa? So it makes sense. That's why the Yosef Engel says it makes sense to do the yesa and to violate the Lo Sesa, because the onus on the Lo Sesa will be considered onus commander Lo Ovid. Onus is considered that what you did doesn't count. It's discounted. But you can say onus commander Ovid. Say. Observe the Lo Sesa, not don't do anything at Mishavi Al Tase. You have failed to do the Mitzvah Sesa. So your teretz for the Bezen Shemala will be that you are honest. Honest Hank, honest Magma, honest commander of the Amin, and self that you didn't have the key in the essay. So it's along the same lines as when Aram and Tav problem meant. Along the same lines he says that he understands why Yesa Bechel Esas. That's not what the Ramban says, Ramban HaChumash. And the Aseros Adivus in Parshas Yisro says differently. He says that there are two main mitzvahs, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and these two main mitzvahs are the basis of all the other mitzvahs at Torah. Avos Hashem is the basis for all of the mitzvahs at Sei, and Yiras Hashem is the basis for all the mitzvahs Lo Sesa. So he says, and that's why there's a klal of Esed Dechel Lo Sesa, because Avos Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. The mitzvah of Avos Hashem is greater than the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. That's his understanding. That's not what the Ma'amud Prav is saying over there. I'm kind of saying a whole different mahalach. That the Torah sent him with Surya Yosef makes sense on the essay, not a Lo Sesa. So that's, he probably means what Rabbi Yosef Engel explained. The Esfengel writes it independently. He doesn't really quote this Ma'amud Prav. The Meshech Chacham also explains another thing with this. He says there seems to be sounds like there's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What is Shmur Matzah all about? Shmartem is Matzah. What is Shmur Matzah all about? So Rashi says that it means Asir L'Shma, Rashi Mesachim Daf Mem, that you have to make the matzahs Asir L'Shma. The Rambam at this writes as if you just need Shimon Mechimitz, as if you don't even need Asir L'Shma. So the fellow is, according to the Rambam, that means Shimon Mechimitz, and why do you only need Shmur Matzah for the Lo HaSedah? For the Lo HaSedah, you should need, according to Rashi, that it means Asir L'Shma. So you only need Asir L'Shma for the matzah with which you fulfill a mitzvah that's on Lo Pesach. The rest of the matzah that you eat, the rest of the 7 or 8 days of Pesach, that's not a kima mitzvah. It's just that it shouldn't be chametz. It shouldn't be a violation of an aver of eating chametz. You only say the bracha halachilas matzah on Lo Pesach. You don't say the bracha the rest of the day. According to the Ramban, that the idea of shmur matzah is not. According to the Rambam, it sounds like he says that the idea of shmur matzah is not so much asir l'shma, but rather shimon mechimitz. The Manishtana, why should it only be the first night? Why shouldn't it apply all the places? So the Manishtan Taka says that according to the Rambam, you do need Shmur Matzah all the places. But the Yosemech is assuming, the Meshech Chochman, Pashat, is assuming that it's not so. Because the Rambam himself talks about a person only has a kezayis of Shmur Matzah, so he should eat that, and he's going to eat pshutas. The rest of Pesach, he's going to eat pshutas by the Seder also, so he should save his kezayis of Shmur Matzah. So you see the Rambam is talking about eating eating pshutas also. He doesn't insist that you have to eat shmur matzah all Pesach long. So the Magen Mishnah understands that the Rambam, the Chayyadim quotes this, the Chayyadim has a whole arrest about eating shmur matzah all the Pesach, based on the Rambam Shita. That is Shema Mechimitz. The Shema Mechimitz applies all the 7-8 days of Pesach. Why should it only be restricted to the Leil HaSeir? So the Magen Mishnah understood in the Rambam that you need shmur matzah all Pesach long because of Shema Mechimitz. Either Rambam talks about eating pshutas also. So he says, yeah, that's, if you can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating shmur all the places you have no berries, so then you have to eat the pshutas. But for the, but there's another din, that for the gezayis shal mitzvah, for the afikayim, and that's the ikar, gezayis shal mitzvah's matzah, for that you have to absolutely have shmur. So that's what the Eretz Yisrael says. So why? Why is there more of a mitzvah to have shmur for the gezayis matzah, as opposed to the rest of Pesach, according to the Rambam, that is Shem and Mechimitz? What's the yichus regarding, the Yisrael Chametz is on the Pesach? I set the doctor for the Kazayis Shal Mitzvah. So that's what he says along the lines of this. He says along the lines of this, my own problem, without quoting him. He says the chilek between an essay and a less essay. Let's say the person would be an owner. So let's say a person eats matzah which is not, didn't have Shema Mechimus. Didn't have Shmura, Mishas, Kitzira, Ashima Mechimus. But when they took the kernels of bread and they ground it, they didn't see any Chimus. So most probably there is no chametz over there. And if it will turn out that it did have chametz, and the stomach, you will have the right to say that Enes of Malapatra, he made a mistake, he fell in. The rub is that it's not chametz, even if it's not shmura. The rub is that it's not chametz. And the Torah says you have the right to follow the rub, after Amla happens. So why does the Torah insist to shmatim as hamatzah, you have to have shmura? Liyasa says, what do you mean Liyasa says? For what purpose? He says, that's what the Rambam understood. The Liyasa says is regarding the mitzvahs I say. If a person thought that he did a mitzvah, and it turns out that he didn't do the mitzvah because one of the conditions was missing, he thought that he's eating matzah, and it turned out that the matzah was chametz diga matzah. So it's not matzah, so he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So then, even though he was an honest, but you can't say honest commander of it, you only say honest commander lay of it, but you can't say honest commander of it. So as far as eating chametz all of Pesach, it's not a mitzvah to eat matzah, it's an issa to eat chametz. This is just an issa to eat chametz, and you know that the rub of the time, even if it's not shmur matzah, is not going to be chametz. So there's nothing wrong with eating pshutas, because as long as you know that you're not violating, you have a way that you're not violating the issa, even though there's a mere chance that you are in violation of the issa chametz, you don't have to worry about that mere. Even if it turns out that that's true, it's bainus. Bainus rachmana patrin. Bainus is commander lay of it. But as far as leil Pesach, as far as the mitzvah says of eating matzah is concerned, you want to have a kiyum mitzvah. A kiyum mitzvah only makes sense if you know for sure that this is matzah. If it will turn out that the miut is correct, that it's really chametz, you're not going to be able to scream to the Bezer Shamayla that the Onus Rachmana Patrei, this Onus Rachmana Patrei, you're not held responsible for eating the chametz. But you won't get schar for eating matzah because the Onus command of it, Leah Amina. The Yosef Meach here, the Meshach Chachma also suggests that this perhaps is the way to be misalik the Mishkanes Yankiv's Raya. There's a discussion in Poskim about the Bedikas Hareya. When you shech the behemoth and you have to check the lungs, is that a Dinda Reis or Dinda Rabbanon? So the Rambam writes the Feru, so it's only the Rabbanon. When you have a meal Tamotsui, you have to be Bodek, it's only the Rabbanon. So somebody asked, how can it be the Mishkanes Yankiv? How can you say it's only the Rabbanon? If the Mechil, the Darshan's on the Pesach, the Shemata, the Chukah, says, Lamar, Dham, Yamim, Yamim, so there's a Machlek, Satanayim, and Lamar, which Chukah is it referring to? Is it Chukah Sat Pesach, or Chukah Sat Tfilin? Which Chukah is it referring to? Sometimes I'm say, it's referring to Chukah Sat Pesach, and Yamim, Yamim, it means from year to year. And others say, no, the Shemata, the Chukah, says, means Chukah Sat Tfilin, Yamim, Yamim, it means daily. You should wear Tfilin every day, by Yom, Balam, Balayla, Miyamim, Lechol Yamim, Lemutay Shabbos, and Yantif. But that's the mocha that Laila is Lavzman Tzulim. If you hold it, it goes, B'chut Kisat Tzulim. So the Mechil, the comments on that Pesach on the assumption that Shamat goes on Tzulim, B'chut Kisat Tzulim, across the Dabba, B'chut Kisat says, what does it mean with Shamarto? That's alluding to the B'chut Kisat Tzulim. You have to be B'chut Kisat Tzulim, B'chut Kisat Tzulim, and B'chut Kisat Tzulim every so often to make sure that it's kosher. So what do you have to be B'chut for? If originally the Sefer wrote your prayer to him, he wrote your mezuzah, and then you have the right to shtel of the chazaka that it didn't become nifsal. So why should you have to be bedik lachatilas? It does not indicate, like the Rishonim, like the Rambam said, kohecha be'efshim mirdik batkina, v'lei samchina na chazaka, v'lei samchina na ruber leise kamon. Whenever you have the ability to be bedik, not to be bedik and fill in every single day, open up to make sure that nothing is missing. But every couple of years, every so often you have to be buried to make sure. But don't you see that this halacha that the Ramban has in the beginning of the Chulam, whenever you have a mil tamotri, that there's a problem, that you require bedikah, doesn't indicate that it's a din deraisa. A chatala, but the Mishkan HaSiyankim says, we know that it's only the Rabbanan. How can you insist that it's deraisa based on a pasuk? It's ridiculous. So the Yosamech and the Meshech Chacham wants to fall into this taina. So he says there's a difference between mitzvah sase and mitzvah lo sase. Tefillah and a mezuzah, that's a mitzvah sase. So if you won't be Vedic, true, you'll have the right to assume that it's a kosher tefillah and a kosher mezuzah. But if it'll turn out that it's possible, so you will have lost the kima mitzvah. You will not have any kima mitzvah. You're not going to say that since you have the right to follow the rov of the hazot and you use these tefillah and they were possible, that it is still considered as if you had the kima mitzvah. So of course, if you left without the kima mitzvah, I was commanded every day, I mean, but as far as eating the various is concerned, shalat ba'adikah, eating trefas, you don't know, you have to check the lungs, you don't know if the animal a trefa or not, is the animal whatever, an avail or not. So then as long as you have a rope, so you have a right to follow the rope. Why? You should be vedic to make sure that it's absolutely correct and not rely on the rope. Why should you have to bother to do that? Even if it'll turn out that it's really a trefa, really an avail, but the Torah said you have the right to rely on the rope. So they have to be braided. To say that whenever you have a meal tamotzer by traitors, you require the dik, that lechol can only be with the rabbanon. That's what the Meshech Chacham had. Maximum, that can only be with the rabbanon. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a din that if a person wants to volunteer avelus when a dear friend dies, even if it's not a relative, then you're obligated to observe avelus. If it's a close friend, so it makes sense to volunteer avelus. So the chayyur, it only makes sense to volunteer if you go along the lines of this Mishkan Islam, along the lines of the Maharam in Prague and the Meshech Chacham. The chayyur, it only makes sense to volunteer mitzvahs asay nihugim of avelus, but to volunteer to abstain, not to violate the Yisuri avelus, doesn't make sense. To do the first Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa, that's what they both say. There is no such concept as Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa regarding Yisuri. There's only Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa on Mitzvah. That's what he wants to say here. Rishol Ben Achman is, or Yankov marrying two sisters, it absolutely doesn't make sense that anybody, Kodim Atin Torah, should volunteer to observe Vosas. It only makes sense to volunteer to observe Mitzvah Saseh. So then at least you have a key.
Who
should be Megayer somebody? Yeah.
The
simple reading, Shaul ben Achman, sounds like he married a Nachris. If she had converted, so the Chumash wouldn't continue to call her a Achnas.
That would be good. I mean, I think that for somebody who would have married
Abitzel to a Achnas, maybe she wouldn't have missed the first. Well, Avram insisted and Yitzchak, they wanted Dafkid to marry people who had good hearts. They felt even though the members of their family were of the Avodah Zarah, they had very bad hashkafas, but they had good midos. And they felt that the Knanim, even those who had converted, who had good hashkafas, and they kept mitzvah sapeira, had miserable midos. And the midos go over the Yerusha, go over in the blood, the genes go over. So that's why they insisted Dafka marry them, and come to their lives. Yeah. Right. So that's what the Midrashim say, that they did marry at this sister. So it was some kind of arrangement that they married this sister. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big problem, yeah.
For
the Kumsar Agra on Kima Mitzvah,
whether
it
would be separate apart from whether or not you actually got
Mitzvah, or did that consideration? Lechera, even if the Lechera, even if the person got no Kima Mitzvah at all, but still, he was Mishtadel to do Avodas Hashem, so that itself, just for the Hachanas alone. Even though he never left anything, he should get reward for that, because he was Mitzvah. Let's say a poor guy works his head off to figure out Pshat in the Gemara, and he learned very wrong Pshat. But he worked so hard, he gets reward for that. That's what Shimon HaMseni said. When he had all these Chidush HaTorah, and then he backed out from the whole thesis, that you don't dash an ass. So they asked him, Rebbe, you're going to leave with all the Shabbat, he said, the last 20 years. So he says, Kishem Shekibalti Yischar Al Adrisha, Kacha Kamba Yischar Al Prisha. So what do you mean, Kishem Shekibalti Yischar Al Adrisha? Just like I got Yischar for all the 20 years of sanctuary, but now it's a blameless in Afreya, you never got any Yischar. So the Rav says, no, that's the answer, because at the time that he's saying Yishir, he thought that they were right. So since he thought that they were right, so he was looking for Agra. He was working hard and learning. Then after 20 years, he realizes that the whole premise was wrong. So Mikanel Abba is going to say Emes HaTorah. But yet, Tzchak was saying Falsh HaTorah also, if you thought that it was authentic.
Is that Tzchak HaTorah, or is this general Tzchak?
No, that's Tzchak for Tzaira, for the Tzar. But the Hishtat was in trying to do away with Hashem. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda ahead. That Yehuda shalach l'fan of Yosef, l'horis l'fan of Goshna. Rashi quotes in the Medrash that he requested of Yehuda that he should establish a yeshiva there. He moved to a new community with a whole new style of civilization. Everything is so different there. The Dina HaTorah are going to be completely different. Can't just continue to observe the mitzvahs of Torah the same way you did before. The shaylos are different. It's not that the dinim are different, it's a different shaylos. It's going to be a different psak. It's going to be a different shuva. So that's why you had to send Yehuda in advance to set everything up, to make sure that they work out all the psakim before they come. This is really missing by us in our generation. The world keeps on changing so much. There's so many technological advances and so many medical advances and changes and everything. And nobody's really on top of these things. It's, most good Rabbanim are not on top of these things. To look what's happening, to make sure that the dinim haven't changed because the shaylos are not different. A lot of the dinim should be different because the shaylos are different shaylos. So that's what Yaakov Avinu knew right away. He has to do that. The Shalom has a comment on this passage. He understands this a little differently. He says, whenever a person rents a house or rents an apartment or something, so he should, even though it's for his own purposes, he should always think, how is he going to use this for Avodas Hashem? As long as he's going to use part of it, he's going to figure, oh, that's going to be my study, I'm going to have my swarm and I'm going to learn there, whenever I can't go to Minyan, I'm going to daven there, fine. He should figure out what part of whatever his endeavor is going to be, what part of it is going to be for Avodas Hashem. If he plans in advance what path will be for Avodas Hashem, then the whole endeavor will be Bahatzlot. So that's why, that's what he interprets. That's why Yankif wanted to send Yehuda. They were all going down to Mitzrayim. They're going to be there for a long time, for 210 years, quite a while. But he sent Yehuda first to build the yeshiva, Zivki, where the whole traveling to Mitzrayim was to establish a yeshiva. It wasn't going to be for the purpose of establishing a yeshiva. They're going to be there for 210 years. But if you start off by doing Avodas Hashem with your secular in Yonim, then the bracha will be chal on everything. The Rav comments on the Medrash that Rashi quotes in the next pasuk, that when Yosef, after so many years, met his father, so Yosef was crying on the father's shoulders. And those days the father was crying on his shoulders, like by Yosef and the Yamin, they were both crying on each other's shoulders. And here Yosef was crying on the father's shoulders, and the father was not crying on Yosef's shoulders. Why not? So Rashi quotes this strange passage from the Medrash. But Yaakov Avinu is busy saying Kriya Shema. Mazda is busy saying Kriya Shema. But the airplane, they told everybody to sit down first in the safety belt. You couldn't doubt them, they were just learning what it says about Krishna there. But the regular airplane, you could have said Krishna. Why wasn't Yosef saying Kriya Shema? He said before. So why did Yaakov not say Kriya Shema before Sepis? So the world says that everybody says the same shot, but it doesn't mean that it says man Kriya Shema now, that Yaakov Avinu was saying Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema Bizmana. He already said Kriya Shema. The story was that it says in Kriya Shema we have to ask Hashem Elokecha, you should love only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't love other people. But we do love. We love the members of our family. You love your children. You love your parents. You love your wife. You love other people also. So what it means? So the answer is no. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is part of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants us to love other human beings as well. But if a person hasn't seen his son for 22 years and then he's overcome with emotion, then the love for his son becomes so powerful that he no longer has this in the perspective. It's no longer part of his love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really a separate independent love. He loves his son Yosef. He hasn't seen him for so long. So in order to be misgavar on that sense and that feeling, in order not to violate the mitzvah, you have to ask Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. All of your heart means that all of your love should be for Hashem. So you have no room in your heart to love anybody else. How do you love your wife? How do you love your children? That's part of Avos Hashem. The Baruch Hu wants me to get married, wants me to have a family. This is part of Avos Hashem. But if he's not seeing his son for 22 years, he's so overcome with emotion. So that's why just to control himself, to reorient himself, and to keep in mind that his love for his son is only an aspect, an extension of his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he was saying Shema. Doesn't mean Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. He was saying V'ahavta. That's the main part. He was saying V'ahavta Es Hashem Akecha. He was reminding himself V'ahavta V'chol Avocha. All of your love should be towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the love towards whatever B'nai Adam we have should be an extension of that love.